Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay, I'm in live stream. Can you hear me? Where should I post?
Hold on, Robert. Hold on a sec, buddy. Let's start. I just want to introduce the date. Today is Monday, June 21st. First day of summer, summer solstice, 2021. We have a new member in the live stream. His pseudonym is Robert Lawrence. Hello.
Yeah, it's my pseudonym. It's not my real name.
That's fine. Why did you choose Robert Lawrence? Just a good name?
I'm not really sure. I probably chose the last name. I was probably thinking of Jennifer Lawrence I just picked that name. I'm not sure where the Robert comes from. I'm not that I'm connected to Jennifer Lawrence, but I mean, she just entered
my head,
so I decided. Yeah, but even if I didn't like her, she's attractive, but I don't particularly like her as a person. It's just, since she entered my head, I just thought of the name.
Yeah, and you said earlier that you came here by way of Miles Mathis, which is
interesting. And I saw, specifically what I saw in your blog, I'm pretty sure I saw you talking about, like, what he said about Ted Bundy, which I agree with him about Ted Bundy being a hoax.
All the serial killers gone? They've disappeared in the last 20 to 30 years, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure all serial killers are hoaxes, but I think a lot of them are. Another one I think is a hoax. Miles Mathis, I think he thinks all of them are. I don't agree with that, but there's another one that he thinks is a hoax that I agree with him on. That's Jeffrey Dahmer. And the reason that I think that Jeffrey Dahmer is a hoax, the primary reason is because there were two brothers involved in the case. In 1988, Dahmer was convicted of child sexual abuse against a minor named Anouk Sinthasamphone. And in 1991, he was convicted of murdering the man's brother, Conorak Sinthasamphone. So that's two brothers who are his victims in a city of over 1 million people. And Dahmer said the way he met the other brother was by coincidence in a mall. And he said, "What are the odds of over 1 million against one?" So I think he was mocking people's gullibility in believing the story. Because, like, the two brothers itself, that makes it very likely to be a hoax. And actually, that's what made me convinced that the murder of Mary Fagan was a hoax, was I researched the genealogies. And Mary Fagan was a relative of virtually everyone in the case, with the possible exception of Leo Frank. Actually, even Leo Frank, she was probably distantly related to, but it appears to me, well, what I've proven is she was related at least by marriage to James Gantz, who was an early suspect in the case, and she was likely related to Arthur Molyneux, who was an early suspect in the case, but I didn't have exactly proof that she was related to almost everyone in the case, but what I had is everyone was related to someone else in the case who you would not expect them to be related to, in a similar way to how those two alleged victims of Dahmer were brothers. Like, it was like there was a police officer, Newport Lamford, who was a cousin. He was the sixth cousin of F.C. Terrell, who was the husband of Mara Gantz, who was the half-sister of James Gantz, and he decided to let Gantz go and to pursue Frank as the suspect. And the coroner in the case, Dr. Paul Donahue, who was blind, he was a cousin of...
a blind coroner?
Yeah, that itself is very suspicious, I think.
Wow, you can rhyme off all these names. Are you reading from something, or do you just know all this stuff?
No, actually, I'm saying it from memory. That's why I wasn't sure, like, how exactly Paul Donahue was related to James Gantz, because I don't have it all memorized, but I remember that he was related. But I have it in a PDF I wrote. Like, I wrote a booklet, I think it's about 40 pages, of the genealogies of people involved in this case. Could I post it in the Fakeologist blog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in the live stream show notes. We have a bunch of text channels here, and then I'll put it on the blog. Only I could post on the blog, but if you put it in the show notes here, then I can plaster it on my blog because it sounds pretty interesting.
So live stream notes. I see it. Okay. So
yeah, got it. Live stream notes. Anytime we're talking in the live stream about a topic, put it in there because then I'll lift it out of there and put it on my blog because Discord evaporates. All the channels evaporate over time. I don't own Discord. It's obviously a third-party server. So I can put it on my blog, though. So it might one day be searchable by Google. But as you know, Google blocks lots of websites and doesn't search for them very well. So
you mean you could put my article on your blog about the genealogies in this case? Oh, actually,
sure.
Another thing interesting about the case, Leo Frank, the defendant in the case, Leo Frank, I don't think he was closely related to anyone else involved in the case, but he was related to Jacob Frank. Jacob Frank was a false Jewish messiah, an antichrist figure in 18th century Poland. Miles Mathis has talked about him. Have you heard of that guy before or no?
No. I don't go that far back in history.
The reason it might be relevant, Leo Frank was related to Jacob Frank. I mean, I'm not certain it is.
Is this the same Frank as the Anne Frank family by any chance?
In a way, yes. I mean, they're all related. Jacob Frank, Leo Frank, and Anne Frank were all related. They're probably fifth cousins, however many generations removed. But they're not extremely close, but they're probably about fifth cousins.
Whereabouts in the U.S. are you from there, Robert?
I'm from Indiana. I live northeast.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Anderson, which is northeast of Indianapolis. But I was going to say, the reason it might be, this is more speculative, but the reason it might be significant that Leo Frank was related to Jacob Frank is during his case, Leo Frank and some of his supporters compared him to, I don't know if Leo Frank did it himself. Actually, he probably didn't, but some of his supporters compared him, and I think his attorneys too, compared him to Jesus, and a Jew who was suffering persecution. But Jacob Frank said that he was the reincarnation of Jesus, and the people who persecuted Jesus and executed him were Jews. And so it could be like some Jews think that Jesus is evil, and they think like he's basically Satan. So if Leo Frank was being compared to Jesus, some of the Jews making the comparison might secretly have been sabotaging him and have been thinking that he was connected to Jesus and therefore connected to Satan because of his relation to Jacob Frank. Because Jacob Frank.
Hey Robert, how long have you been looking into hoaxes and psyops?
Actually, the first one, this is probably the first one I looked seriously into, to be honest. When people talked about Adam Lanza's mass shooting being a hoax, I was kind of dismissive of it and I mocked it. Now, I don't know enough about it to say if that one's a hoax. I never studied Adam Lanza's case enough to.
Sandy Hook. We call it Sandy Hoax. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
I have seen some things, even though initially I mocked people who thought it was a hoax, I've seen some things recently that made me change my mind. Like, one of the things that made me, not necessarily change my mind, I'm not entirely convinced it's a hoax, but one thing that makes me suspect it is that there were media reports out that Adam Lanza was a pedophile, and I don't see what that would have to do with a mass shooting, so that kind of seems like a psyop to try to connect that.
Well, he was pretty much a kid himself in the story, so, you know, not too many, it's crazy. What about 9/11? Did you look into that?
No, I never really looked into it, but there are suspicious things about it. Like, there were those dancing Israelis who were,
suspicious thing of the whole thing.
No, I know, but what you see at the surface level is U.S. or Israeli involvement, but I've heard other people talk about it and say, if you dig deeper, you would also find Russian involvement, which I think is more interesting. And Putin, right? I don't know very much about 9/11, but I want to say this. There's an author named Christopher Bierknes. I don't trust him, but he, He goes on Adam Green's show, No More News. I assume you're familiar with Adam Green and No More News.
A little bit, not much.
Christopher Bierkness talked briefly about Russia's involvement in the 9/11, and it seemed plausible what he was saying.
I've never really heard anyone talk about Russia at 9/11. That's crazy.
Okay, but the thing, Putin, right before 9/11 happened, was starting to have anti-Muslim policies and have a crackdown on Muslims.
Oh, that's all.
No,
that is some of the weakest kind of rabbit trail I've ever heard.
I'm not that by itself would be weak. That by itself would be weak, but the next thing's more relevant. In order to justify those policies, he would have the Russian government hire people to pretend to be Muslim terrorists, Chechenian Muslim terrorists, and commit terrorism against Russians, like it was similar to what is believed happened on 9/11. That's what I was going to say. That he would have
None of that makes any difference to me. Hey, say hello to Jacques Benoit. We have a new name, Jacques Benoit.
Your name is actually interesting because I believe in the Mary Fagan genealogies I was looking into. I'm pretty sure I remember the name Benoit coming up. I think it was among James Gant's ancestors. I'm going to look at the genealogy.
It's a common name against Pope. Many Pope choose that name, for example. But what I wanted to say is that I will agree with you on that. It is common knowledge that Putin, before he took power in Russia, staged different events, different terrorist attack and everything. So I will not say per se that this is a rabbit trail linking back to 9/11, but let's say that this particular leader is no stranger to false flag or hoax or fake events.
He's part of the system, man.
Hey, but I want to say one thing I was right about your name, Benoit, or the one in your screen name, appearing in the genealogy. Benoit. Appearing in the genealogies I researched, because one of the suspects in the alleged murder of Mary Fagan was James Milton Gant, and he was descended from a woman, a French woman named Esther Jean Benoit.
Hold on a sec.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Yeah, we have bumpers every 20 minutes there, Robert.
Oh, yeah.
Benoit is not my family name. It's my first name. I'm using Jacques Benoit as it is because I am in the UK, and that's a private joke, since that's the name I'm writing on the form at the
I want
to enter.
I wasn't saying that you're related to this person. I was just saying it maybe.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, but actually, there's another there was a serial killing trial in Hungary that's an obvious hoax. It was in the 17th century of Countess Elizabeth Bathory. The way I know that that one is a hoax is the prosecuting attorney in her trial was George Thurzo, and George Thurzo was her relative. I don't know exactly how closely related they were, but I know that they were related because Elizabeth Bathory's husband, Baron Knedasty, in his will, he left all his property in care of his widow to George Thurzo. And so George Thurzo was Elizabeth Bathory's legal guardian while he was the prosecuting attorney in her murder trial. And another thing that makes it clear that it's a hoax, if that did not, is that George Thurzo had secret negotiations with Elizabeth Bathory's son, Paul Bathory, and with other relatives of hers, where they discussed planning to spirit her away to a nunnery so she would never actually have prison time. I think that pretty much proves that is a hoax, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's interesting that you went over the serial killer topic, because that is something that I discussed a bit with a new member that I really hope to get on the live stream soon yesterday. And yes, I'm of the opinion that those serial killer stories are completely fake. And most criminal events that we see on the newspaper are fake. I don't think that nothing is happening per se, but I think that the ones that are reported are the ones that are controlled, because it's easier to sway the narrative. It just goes toward the abandon of freedom. You know what I mean? You should not go outside alone if you are a young lady. You should not let your kids play on the streets. You should be afraid of each and every...
I mostly agree with
what... going toward what we are living now, which is the voluntary confinement.
I mostly agree with what you said, but I think a lot of serial killings are hoaxes, but I don't think all of them are. Miles Mathis is, I think he said he thinks all of them are. I'm not saying you said that, but I wouldn't agree with saying that all of them are.
Yeah, I think that the ones that are reported are fake. I don't think that there is no serial killer per se. I just think that the ones that are reported are fake, in most, if not all cases. But there might be some individuals that are crazy or anything.
The ones that are glamorized, the ones that they make movies out of, those are the ones that are insane. Because
I would agree probably the majority of serial killings are hoaxes. I would agree that the majority probably are, because it doesn't really make sense that a person would be able to murder person after person after person and not get caught, unless the police were completely incompetent. And if that were the reason he was not caught, then he'd never be caught. So I think it would be very rare that there would be a real serial killer who was caught, because if he managed to get to the point where he became a serial killer, then he's dealing with police who are never going
well,
to...
Well, I'll tell you, whenever they catch them, it's always a really dumb mistake, and it's a huge coincidence. It's never by good old-fashioned tracking down police work. There's always some crazy, unbelievable flip-up that the guy makes, or he gets really... Yeah, or he gets really brash and really arrogant, so he just mocks the police by leaving a giant clue that if they miss that, they're just complete idiots.
Do you know do you have a clear idea of why they're hoaxing these serial killings? Like with Mary Fagan's alleged murder, I know the reason that they hoaxed it. It was to create racial conflicts, like a conflict between Jews and white Christians and blacks. But I don't really see, I do believe the serial killings are mostly hoaxes, but I'm not sure what the motivation is. Do you have an idea what the
motivation is? I have an idea about that. I think that the motivation is, like I said, to create a climate of distrust among the people in society, to further get people away from each other, and also to get into the people the idea that a stranger is danger, and not someone that you may be able to have a great experience with, or just talk shit around, exchange perspective, or anything. I think that the powers that be just want us to be alone and frightened at each and every time, and that makes for an
all
easier
the time.
Society to control.
Yeah. Oh yeah, all the time. Doesn't matter what it is either. It could be a virus.
Matter.
Viruses
and
are better.
And it doesn't work. Any hoax doesn't work on some people, you know, because maybe some lady will say, yeah, the virus is bullshit, and she will not believe in everything. But she might be buying the serial killer hoax, and that might help the powers that be in furthering their plan. So there are many hoaxes concurring at the same time, and they are there for a different public.
And actually, it's funny you mentioned that, Robert. If you like Miles Mathis so much, his main thesis is Operation Chaos. That's basically the overarching plan. Keep chaos in the system at all times and scare the hell out of people.
Well, I wouldn't phrase it, I wouldn't say I like Miles Mathis a lot. I find a lot of his information useful, but some of the stuff he says I find kooky, so I wouldn't say that I don't agree with the... I agree with him for the most part about hoax murders, but I don't really agree with, like, the political stuff he wrote. Like, for example, he said Hitler was intentionally serving as Jewish-controlled opposition and intentionally lost the war, whereas I think Hitler was more of a pawn being manipulated.
Well, I will agree with Mathis on that. If you look at military history of World War II, some of the decision taken by the German Air Command doesn't make any sense. To give you an example, the summer offensive of 1942, it's something that no one in their right mind or that wanted to win a war will take as a course of action. It makes absolutely no sense to attack someone with forces that are better equipped for the time that will come on a terrain that they know better, and while you know that your forces are not consequent enough to even win the battle. So I think that in that case, I will agree with Miles Mathis that, in my opinion, from what I know of military history, it doesn't make much sense to take such action if you really want to win the war.
Well, I would say, I would say that there had to be somebody in Hitler's government who was deliberately losing the war, but Hitler himself was not a general, so he may have honestly thought he was making good decisions. Now, somebody with more military, there must have been somebody in the military command who was deliberately making bad decisions. And there were certainly government officials who were deliberately making bad decisions. And there were a lot of crypto Jews surrounding Hitler. For example, Reinhard Heydrich was of Jewish ancestry. He's the person who chaired the Wannsee Conference where the Holocaust was decided upon. That's been proven in mainstream sources that he was of Jewish ancestry. There was Hermann Göring, his stepdad, who was probably also his biological dad, was a Jew named Hermann Eppenstein. There was a Soviet spy in Hitler's government named Martin Bormann, who was regularly transmitting German military secrets to Moscow. And Reinhard Galen, the person who ran German espionage, informed Hitler of this, but Hitler told him that Hitler told Galen that Bormann had already informed him that he was doing this and it was being done to trick the Russians. But I'm more inclined to think Hitler was deceived than that he was deliberately losing. I haven't seen...
Well, it's one of the other, but we can agree that the military decisions that were taken after a certain stage in the war were only designed to have them lose. So we disagree on who is responsible, but definitely.
We agree on that. We agree that somebody in the Nazi German government was deliberately losing the war. We just don't agree on Hitler specifically. So I kind of, in a way, I agree with Miles Mathis about the Nazis. I agree with Miles Mathis about Hitler's regime. I just don't agree with him about Hitler personally.
I have the chance to read a book that is named Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. And the theory of that book is that Martin Bormann, like you said, made in sort that the German lose the war because he already had a second economical system in play to rebuild Germany and to continue his adventures in politics on another level and with other people. So in that sense, that theory that was in that book would confirm what you said, that the guy was just so keen on having them lose because he was already on with the next stage of power, if you want. So if he was a communist agent, it will make sense.
But I'd like to elaborate so my basic disagreement with Mathis is that I believe Hitler was sincere, but in a way, I wanted to explain how I agree with him in a way. Even though I believe in Hitler's sincerity, I believe he was duped by Jews into becoming an antichrist figure for Jewry, and I think that was the true purpose of his regime, even though Hitler did not understand it. I think the true purpose of his regime was to be Edom. I think you know about Edom from Jewish myths, that it's the great Satan Edom, who's the enemy and persecutor of Jewry. I think that the purpose of Hitler's regime was to be the Edom, the great Satan to Jewry, and to have the Holocaust and that stuff, and also to lose the war so that Soviet Russia could conquer Eastern Europe. So I think that was the purpose of Hitler's regime all along. I just don't think Hitler understood that that was the purpose.
I would say that the communists were in cahoots with the Americans to establish this duo of power that we have during the Cold War.
Yeah. Well, hey, what do you think, Fakeologist Mobile? Are you still there? I guess he left. Jack, do you know if he's still there?
Let me look it up. It will just take an instant. But also, it may be a problem of network because as it is in the name, mobile.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm
busy.
Actually,
when I'm muted, that means I can't talk. But that's okay. I unmuted.
Can you talk right now?
I can talk now. Go ahead, okay. Robert.
I read parts of a book series by Christopher Bierknes, and I started reading it from the beginning.
I never heard of him.
I've been on Adam Green's show. The series is called Hitler, Bolshevist, and Zionist, and I've read the first volume, Communism, the second volume. I read I don't know if I read all of the second volume, but I read a lot of the second volume, Zionism, and I read all of the third volume. The third volume was the First World War, and then the fifth volume I read part of, it was Premonitions of the Holocaust. The thesis of the book series is basically what Miles Mathis' thesis is, that Hitler intentionally served as controlled opposition to Jews. Well, my only disagreement with that is I don't think Hitler did it on purpose. I think
somebody working on their plate?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm currently cooking the best apple pie.
Are you doing are you doing the dishes?
No, I'm cooking. I don't want to go off topic because we were saying interesting, so I will condense it.
No, that's okay. Okay, I just mute when you're doing your dishes. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just finishing my pie. That's it.
All right. Okay, go ahead, Robert.
But actually, I don't think you said what you thought on this. Do you think that Hitler's regime's purpose, I'm not saying about what Hitler intended, but do you think the purpose of Hitler's regime, even if he did not understand it, was to be the Edom, the controlled opposition to Jewry that would have the Holocaust and lose the war? Well, I mean, I know some people say the Holocaust isn't real, but to the extent there were atrocities.
It isn't real. Let me tell you, it isn't real. There is absolutely no proof of any type of homicidal gas chamber in the territory that were freed by the Russians, conveniently enough, by the way.
Well, I agree for the most part. I think the Holocaust is more false than true, but they did have some atrocities against Jews. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, they move thousands of people across Europe.
They got rid of all their opposition.
We kind of got off topic. My point was, do you think that Nazi Germany's purpose was to be the controlled opposition to Jews by having things like, well, I just called it Holocaust to summarize any atrocities against Jews. I'm not saying there were millions killed or gas chambers, but do you think that that was the purpose of Nazi Germany, to be controlled opposition to Jews, to be their Satan, and for Hitler to be their Antichrist? Even if Hitler did not understand that was the purpose, do you think that that was the purpose?
Well, I think all these leaders are read into the plan. I think it was to Britain and it was mainly England's means to make sure there was no German-Russian alliance. Germans have the know-how, the engineering skills, the work ethic, and Russia had the resources to make a huge... just basically a huge alliance to control Europe. So it's always about money. So they had to put those two nations at each other's throats. That was the main purpose.
But don't you?
And
think
they did that. Germany and Russia destroyed each other more than any other two nations.
Right, but don't you that I think that was one aspect of it, and also to expand Russia into Eastern Europe. But do you think another aspect of it was for Hitler to be an antichrist to Jews? Like,
I don't know, because I don't really follow that religious garbage. It's always about money. It's always about money and control of territory and resources. The religious overtones, I don't even care about.
I would say that at least the Nazi government helped greatly in the establishing of the State of Israel. So if anything, that might have been one of the goals also to legitimate...
That was another goal, for sure. That was another reason, because they wanted to create a beachhead in the Middle East to create Greater Israel and recreate a sort of a biblical theme, so for sure. These guys are long-term planners. We know they're long-term, 100-year plans, man.
Yes, that is one aspect of it, because there's actually a book I have called The Restoration of Israel by Rabbi Joseph Kruel of Hungary, written in 1812, where he said he predicted in the book that there would be a world war that a Jewish Messiah would play a leading role in, and that after the end of the war in the year 1948, Israel would become independent. So it's debatable who...
Well, that's convenient that he got the right down to the year. That's hard to believe. But
he didn't really get a hacked book. I've read the quote. He got the year exactly right.
Okay, well, I doubt it, but okay, that's fine.
Well,
I don't believe much is written down. Okay, all right. It doesn't matter to me, because I have a super skeptical mind. I got a book, too. I saw a movie where planes went in the towers. Doesn't mean it's true. And I don't know who wrote the book and if it was rewritten. Was backdated. You don't know any of that because you weren't around in 18-whatever, and neither was I.
Well, I mean, this would be evidence for what you and Miles Mathis think about Hitler, at least about Hitler's regime being controlled opposition. So, I mean, this would support what you think, what I'm saying, because it shows there was a plan for this to happen more than a century before the war started.
Well, I agree. The controllers are planning things 100 years out all day long.
Do you think
so
that
whatever,
the,
yeah.
Do you think that the controllers are guided by any non-human spiritual entities, or do you think they're just working with other humans?
I think they're just smart people.
Well, but
I don't believe in aliens or any extraterrestrials or none of that. They're just smart, and it's their business.
Can humans plan things for hundreds of years? Like, this has been going on for centuries.
Yeah, I think they can definitely. Anyone that is trying to...
I know, most humans can't even plan a vacation, but there are people that are smart enough to do long-term planning.
Do you think that any kind of spirits might exist? I'm not talking about in relation to conspiracies, but do you think any gods...
I would agree with you on that. I would say that there are a spiritual level to this. I mean, it can only be simple greed or human evilness or twisted mentality or whatever you want. I definitely think that there is a spiritual effect to it. That those people know that they are influenced by such entity, I'm not sure.
Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Plate.
So what do you do now?
Emerald Equator.
The Asarian.
Psioptica.
For Science.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
So yes, I think that there is a spiritual level to it. I don't know per se if that those people are aware that they are influenced in that way or whatever. I don't think that per se the devil will pop up in your bedroom and have you sign a contract, but maybe some well-informed people in your circle will start to influence you, and maybe those people are themselves influenced by another spirit. But I don't really believe, as much as I don't believe in any direct God intervention, I don't believe in any evil force direct intervention, but more of an overall influence, if you want.
But it could be that they're not aware of it, but like spirits are telepathically inserting thoughts in these people's minds that these people are not aware of, and that's how these things go so much according to plan. And that's one way you could look at the mistakes of Nazi Germany's regime in the Second World War. You could say maybe these spirits maliciously planted really bad ideas in Hitler's minds, in the minds of the other leaders, in order to make sure Germany lost, because the whole purpose they'd had in setting up this regime was for it to lose.
I think so, in a sense. But that they were aware of not, that I can really not say.
I don't think for the most part that they would be aware of it. Like, Hitler probably would not be, because he wasn't really into spiritual stuff. Maybe some of the others were, but I don't think he would have been.
Who knows?
Yeah, and this guy, how would you know that? Allegedly, this guy allegedly didn't have any higher education or anything like that, and it was not allegedly the greatest and brightest mind of his time. So obviously there were people around him, and who was influencing those people is the big question, I think.
Hey, do you know anyone who could help me with my research into these genealogies in Mary Fagan's case? Because I kind of went to a dead end where I couldn't go much further. Like, do you know anyone who has the ability to look further into it?
No, I barely know who Mary Fagan is.
I don't think it's relevant, actually, if you know who she is. I'm saying, like, the ability to research.
No,
genealogy.
I know. I know. Miles Mathis is the only guy I know that does all that. He's the only guy that's obsessed with genealogy.
Well,
That's not really my angle.
I think in terms of hoax murder cases, I think in general it should be the angle, because I think the way that they manage to run the conspiracies to hoax these cases is that they're all related to each other. I think that's how they do it in the hoax cases, because, like, for example, Ted Bundy was a cousin of Ann Rule, who was involved in his case. She was involved writing about it, and she was actually related to the prosecuting attorney and the judge and the police in the case. So he was too. I just found out about another hoax case. There was a Texas prosecuting attorney named Louis Conrad Jr., and I discovered a relation in his case. So he committed suicide because he was exposed. I'm just going to recount what the story is, even though it's a fraud. I just don't want to keep saying it's a fraud, even though I know it's a fraud. So this Texas prosecuting attorney, Louis Conrad Jr., he was exposed, having a sexual conversation online with a minor who was not really a minor but was a perverted justice decoy, and perverted justice provided the decoys for it to catch a predator, a show that exposed minors for sex. So Louis Conrad Jr. refused to meet with this minor, but he'd already violated Texas law. So the police...
So that's the guy that got the show stopped.
Yes, he killed himself. I think his suicide was a hoax, and I looked into his genealogy. His 3 times great grandmother was Mary Hansen. The host of that show was Chris Hansen, and I was expecting, even before I found that, to see some kind of suspicious coincidence in his genealogy, and I found it. Having expected it before, a Hansen in his genealogy.
I was of the opinion that the predators in Dorsch show were all actors. That was my opinion, at least. That it was just a TV show, and that's it, with a script, with a beginning, with an ending, and with reshoots also.
I never suspected that until recently, or maybe I vaguely suspected it, but it wasn't my inclination. But when I looked into Louis Conrad's case, also another thing that is a big red flag is his sister sued NBC for $110 million. In 110...
Hoax code. 11 hoax code.
Definitely.
No, but also 110, like that's because Jews were supposed to be expelled 109 times, and next time's 110. That's the numerological thing. And Louis Conrad was a Jew, so that's that numerological.
Yeah, but also
I don't think it has anything to do with Judaism.
If you allow me, if you ever take the time, because at the time there was a spoof of the Chris Hansen show on the TV show South Park, so I did not know what was Chris Hansen and what was Dateline, but I looked it up, and the thing is that it's too convenient. You know what I mean? It's too convenient. Each one of those guys has this specific thing that make him stand from the other, and it's horrible, but it's funny. The entertainment value is fantastic. So basically, it's too good to be true. You know what I mean? It will take 1,000 of sting operations to have 10 predators that are as good TV as the one they have on this show each and every time. You know what I mean? Even if it's only the best one, the amount of work.
There's another reason, though. Another reason that it's more likely to be a hoax is that Chris Hansen would talk to the predators for quite some time when they showed up, even though other predators were going to show up. That would create a huge unnecessary risk that the other predators would figure out what was going on and flee arrest. So that part made no sense. And Chris Hansen feeling comfortable talking to predators who might have guns for all he knew, that's another thing that's a red flag.
And also, since the show stopped, Chris Hansen was into more than one shady business deal, endorsing of products that were not even existing. So it's not like the guy has the best reputation since the show stopped.
What do you think of Michael Jackson's case? Do you think the allegations against him were hoaxes?
Yep.
Do you think he was complicit in the hoax or a victim of it?
No, I would think
no they're all
complicit.
They're all actors. Which Michael Jackson? There's at least 2 of them, 3 of them. They're all actors.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because just Friday night I was in the pub with Sky Larkin, and we saw an old Michael Jackson music video, and that's the reaction I had. I was like, yeah, that may be it. Michael Jackson 1.1, and after that there was 2.0, and yeah, there were probably more than one Michael Jackson.
At the end, they just gave up and put a mask on the guy because they couldn't be bothered to make the guy look the same. The last guy might have been able to sing, but it's hard to tell because all they do is lip sync anyway. Hey, did you know that the Milli Vanilli guy died just recently? The one that was accused of lip syncing? I don't know, there was 2 of them, wasn't there?
No, you say the guy that was singing in the group. Because the thing is that they were not singing, and I mentioned that on this live stream many times. The guy that was behind Milli Vanilli was named Frank Farian. He's a German guy, and he was also beyond the success of the group Boney M. Because the guy and girl that you see from the group Boney M, they never even sing a song on any of the albums. It was all this guy Frank Farian that was doing it. So the Milli Vanilli case might be real in the sense that they were not singing their song.
Hey, is it?
Yeah, but
sorry. Can I say?
Go ahead.
do you think, is there anything we can do about these hoax cases? Like, could the people who make these hoaxes be prosecuted? Are they breaking the law by having these hoax cases, or is there really nothing we can do about it?
Legally, there is something to be done about it, but let's get anyone, let's pick a random from the street and admitting that it's an hoax, you know, that will be a good start. I mean, before trying to prosecute anyone, it's very difficult to get the random people from the street to admit that the world is not as it's supposed to be. So to go as far as to prosecute those people would be really difficult.
Oh, yeah. JonBenet Ramsey's case was a hoax. And actually, one thing interesting about her case, oh, actually, this is true of Louis Comrades also.
Miles Mathis does the best on that, by the way. He does great on JonBenet.
I don't remember Miles talking about JonBenet. He might have deleted his article.
Oh, yes, he just updated the case. You gotta read his stuff. He's bang on about that. There's certain things I really super agree with. Go read his JonBenet thing. He just updated it.
Oh, I didn't know he had, but anyway, I was going to say, JonBenet Ramsey, she's buried very close to Mary Fagan in the same cemetery that Mary Fagan's in, which is very suspicious because Mary Fagan's murder is an obvious hoax. And she has similar weird names in her ancestry to names in Mary Fagan's ancestry and also to names in Hugh Dorsey's ancestry. Hugh Dorsey, who I already mentioned, was the prosecuting attorney in the murder trial of Frank. And so she almost certainly is, well, she might be a fictional character, but her parents, it seems, are somehow related to Mary Fagan. I'll search Miles Mathis's website. I thought I only saw him mention JonBenet once. Oh, he did have, I didn't know he wrote about that. Okay, you're right. He did write about JonBenet Ramsey. I wasn't aware of
that. Oh, yeah. He's right on.
I'm familiar with that story. It's really a North American story, 100%.
Yes.
He didn't have much, how can I say that? I never heard it mentioned in the news on French language or in a European TV or anything like that. This hoax is purely a North American hoax. It wasn't made for export.
Yes. Well, CNN is the Propaganda Fear Operation Chaos Network, and it was a major story on Larry King, and I was a huge Larry King watcher. I admit I fell for all of it. I love this stuff.
Are you sure that Larry King knew that they were hoaxes, though, or is it possible he was duped?
I have no idea what Larry King knows. I think he's an empty head.
I would ping that.
Of course.
No, I don't.
He's in the entertainment business, man.
I didn't hear what Jack said. Jack, could you repeat what you said?
I think that after a while, I mean, it's like with every company, you know, you get seniority and you go into the higher ups and you know a little bit more about the inner working of the company, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's rare that someone spent 35 years working for a company without at least going one or
knowing what's going on.
So maybe you are not in on the whole scam, but you start to see the contour of what the reality could be.
And people talk.
Yeah, especially when they have a drink or two.
I have no idea what's going on in my company most of the time. I don't know what the plans are. Information leaks out, but I'm at the bottom. Larry King was probably middle management when it came to knowing what's going on, for sure.
Oh, but actually, I was...
A member of the light community. You know, he was a Jew, so it's not like you are in on every hoax, but if you are a Jew that is working in the media, chances are you are not on the lower level, clearly.
Oh, but...
I don't know about that.
But yeah, I don't... Personally, I don't think Larry King would have been aware it was a hoax. I don't think most of them... I think it seems to me like most of the people in the media sincerely believe the murder stories. I think they lie about other topics. Like, they probably don't... I would imagine most of the people in the media suspect that either the U.S. government or Israel or Russia were involved in 9/11, but they just don't talk about it because they're not allowed to. But I think they probably really believe the serial killing stories and stuff like that, most of them. Oh, but I was going to say there was another Louis Comrades case is also connected to Mary Fagan because it happened in Terrell County, Texas. And Terrell County was founded by Robert Adams Terrell. And Robert Adams Terrell was related to F.C. Terrell, who was He was the husband of Mara Gant, the half-sister of James Gant. And he helped James Gant avoid police or deceive them somehow. And they were also... Robert Terrell and F.C. Terrell were related to Newport Lamford, the police officer who chose to let James Gant go and to fixate on Frank as the suspect. So you see a connection of Louis Conrad's case to Mary Fagan, of JonBenet Ramsey's case to Mary Fagan, and of Ted Bundy's case to Mary Fagan. So that's pretty suspicious. It's like all these hoax cases are designed by the same crew.
Well, the intelligence agencies with all their script writers, they know what they're doing.
I wish I was that talented and I got one of those jobs. That must be fascinating, reading a story, writing a story, I mean, as it happened, you know?
But what they're doing is actually evil. Like, hoaxing murder cases like this is probably more evil than just casually committing a murder, because it's designed...
Well, I don't think that
lying
to a bunch of morons is necessarily evil, per se, in my opinion. But that's me.
In my opinion, if I were to agree to participate in a hoax, where I'm a defendant and I'm accused of being a serial killer and I pretend to be innocent, but I actually want people to think I'm guilty, and I'm knowingly participating in the hoax for the purpose of justifying the future enslavement of humanity and destroying social trust and so forth, that's probably more evil than just being a serial killer.
I think so. I agree with you there. I agree. It is just evil, evil, evil. Manipulating the public for future enslavement. You got it, buddy. Yeah, same with COVID. It's totally evil what they're doing, and they may really be killing people. That's the one thing I don't know. I can't confirm, but with this needle, they may really be killing people. I have no way of knowing, and I don't want to take a chance finding out either.
What I think is happening, like with these deaths, both from COVID and vaccines, I think they're hoaxes. I think that the COVID death hoaxes are to brainwash the segment of the public that believes COVID is a real threat. And the vaccine death hoaxes are to brainwash the opposite section of the public, who are anti-vaccine. And for that section of the public, they're trying to brainwash them into following, like, these new age anti-vaccine ideologies, like that of David Icke. I assume you know who David Icke is. Like, it's a way to brainwash people so that they'll follow a new age guru who presents himself as a liberator against the tyranny of vaccination. And that could be Trump. I see Hitler as a forerunner.
No, Trump. Trump, I just published something from a blog from somebody who was saying he wished if Trump would just stop with his Operation Warp Speed, because Trump is going to go down as the one that's kicked off the quaxinations. So he's not representing the site properly,
Yes, I know that he kicked off the vaccinations, but in the past he used anti-vaccine, and he claims, I'm not saying vaccines are good, but he claims some false things. Like, he claims that vaccines cause autism. That's not true. And he claims...
How do you know? I don't agree with that at all. I think quaxines are the cause of almost all our illnesses, besides pesticides and chemical poisons.
Getting aside that, he did criticize them in the past, and my point was, it's true that he has been pro-vaccine at times, but other times he's been anti-vaccine. He's like a two-headed...
I've never heard him say anything anti-quax.
Well,
he's a false prophet. Well, he's the other side of the evil bird.
But what I was trying
the
to
other
say,
wing.
I'm trying to say, I see Trump as Hitler is kind of a forerunner of Trump, and I think Trump's going to have a second term in 2025, and he'll be more of a nationalist then, and like he'll fulfill more of an antichrist role then. And there are people on YouTube like Brother James Key. I'm not saying I don't believe in an antichrist in the biblical sense, but Brother James Key, the Christian on YouTube, is promoting this narrative that Trump's the antichrist, and I think he's like a government agent, and like there's this government project that Trump is complicit in to make people think he's the Antichrist, like, so that he can fulfill the same kind of Edom role in relation to Jews that Hitler did.
Yeah, that's one narrative. I have no idea what you're talking about, so.
Well, I assume you know what I mean by Edom, though, like, in Jewish
mythology.
No,
I don't. Oh, you don't? I don't know Jewish mythology. No, I don't know any of that.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, Well, can I explain what briefly what I mean by EPOM?
If you want, if it's interesting,
it's not that interesting. I'm gonna try to make it brief. So there's a story in the Bible about two brothers, Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, and God, the Jewish God, favors Jacob over Esau, and he helps Jacob to steal Esau's birthright. But in the Bible story, Esau's more of a neutral person. He's not evil. But Jews have a lot of myths that they add. They don't just follow the Bible or the Talmud. They add a lot of other myths besides those books. And in some of those myths that they add, and Esau is portrayed as a devil, like evil, and they call him Edom, E-D-O-M, and he's like a satanic figure, and his descendants are devils, and they persecute Jews. So I was saying Hitler, in John Hagee, a Christian Zionist, he said that Hitler was a mixed Jew who was also descended from the Edomites, who was sent by God to force Jews to go to Israel. So what I was saying was, so Trump and Hitler both fulfill this Edom role, to be the controlled opposition to Jewry that strengthened them through persecution. That's all I was going to say about Edom.
Okay, that's interesting. I think the biblical religious things are all really super secondary, though. But I agree, they mix them into the story to get people to buy into the whole story. But overall, it's all about resources and control.
Well, I would agree with you to some extent. I think it's more about family ties than about religion. I agree with that. And like when I say Jew, when I talk about Jews, I mainly have them in mind as an ethnic group, not as a religious group. Because like I read an article by Stephanie Butnick in the Tablet that was published in September 2014 about a genetic study done on Ashkenazi Jews that proved they're descended from the ancient Hebrews. This study disproved the Khazar theory, which is the claim that they descended from an ethnic group called the Khazarians that live in about what is Ukraine today, who converted to Judaism in the 8th century Anno Domini. They may have some Khazar ancestry, but they're mainly Hebrews, and they're mainly descended from a group of about between 300 and 500 Hebrews who lived in Europe, and I think it was around 1100 to 1200. So all of them are at least approximately 30th cousins. So in that, a 30th cousin is not a meaningfully close relation, but that means that a much larger percentage of them are as close as fifth cousins than in other groups are. So that's part of why Jews often work so closely together, more so than other races and ethnicities do, is that they...
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true either.
Well,
it depends
on how you look at it. I don't think...
I don't think that's true at all. All groups work with people they have stuff in common with. I don't think it has anything... You know, the Jews are always... It's all Jew all day long, that they control everything, and that's... To me, that's so much misdirection. It's boring as hell. And that's why I get irritated just hearing it all day long.
Wait, I didn't hear the last part you said. What was the last sentence?
I just get tired of hearing about it repeated all day long. It's boring.
I get it. Boring. But in the one particular case I was talking about, the hoax of the murder of Mary Fagan, like, because the person who was accused was the defendant in the murder trial, Leo Frank. He was a prominent Jew, and there was a lot of anti-Semitism involved in the trial. And the trial led to the foundation of the Anti-Defamation League, which is the main Jewish lobby in the USA, and ostensibly to defend the man, and also of the Second Ku Klux Klan, which was founded by the members of a group called the Knights of Mary Fagan that abducted Frank from prison and lynched him. Like, in that, the families involved in that particular case, all of them, there was evidence of Jewish ancestry. Like Mary Fagan, for example, there were Jewish names throughout her ancestry. So it seems to me like that particular case, it was done to fulfill some kind of Jewish apocalyptic goal by having a conflict between Jews and white Christians in that particular case. Do you think that sounds plausible for that particular case? I'm not saying everything revolves around Jews, but it seems like that particular case does.
Yeah, I've never really heard of it. Hey, by the way, an ounce of salt is here. You might want to say hi to Frank. He's a charter member here. Ounce of salt, you can say hi to... You're not?
I think you meant to say hi to Robert, didn't you? Or are you saying his name's Frank? Because I'm calling myself Robert.
I'm Frank.
Yeah, we have a guy.
Oh, you're Frank. Okay, yeah. I thought maybe he got it mixed up.
Frank by name, Frank by nature, I think there's a...
Okay. Name and nature. Yeah, say hi to Robert, Frank, and Frank, Robert, Robert, Frank.
Hi, hi, Robert.
Hi, Frank.
I agree. Sorry, I've had some water get down the wrong way.
I heard you,
Robert. I agree with you entirely.
Wow. You mean about the murder trial of Frank and the...
Everything you've been saying. I think everything you've been saying sounds totally plausible to me.
Have you heard of Leo Frank and Mary Fagan before?
Not at all. But the general thrust of what you're saying sounds totally plausible to me.
Would you read the genealogy I posted of the families and of the actors involved in the alleged murder of Mary Fagan and the trial of Leo Frank for her alleged murder? I posted it.
Happy to, yeah. For what it's worth, I'm a person that thinks there's a fellow called Dallas Goldberg, who you may not have heard of, who essentially has the view that there are a few families that set up a group of actors, the Morgans and who else are there? It's the Kennedys came from the Roosevelts and so on. Have you heard all that stuff?
I sort of. I don't remember it as well, but I read a book called Secret Societies of America's Elite from the Knights Templar to Skull and Bones by Stephen Sarraw a long time ago, and he talked about how all the elite families interbreed, which is sort of related to what I talk about, but I don't think it's in, actually Mary Fagan's family had a lot of endogamy, and actually she was related to a lot of prominent people, so maybe it would be connected. I was about to say I didn't think they'd be connected to the political families, but then I remembered Mary Fagan, through her mom, Frances Benton, she was related to the Confederate General Samuel Benton and to U.S. Senator Thomas Benton, Democrat of Missouri. And Thomas Benton had family who married into the Bonaparte family. So
for example, there's the idea that people like that Margaret Thatcher is actually one of the Kennedys. The daughter that they reckon went mad, for example.
I don't know about that. I find that hard to believe, but I could see Margaret Thatcher like being related to the Kennedys because the Kennedys were in Ireland and the Irish and the English have intermarried a lot. So I could definitely see her being a close relative. The switching identities thing, I'd find that hard to believe. Superficially, I'd find it hard to believe. But I definitely...
And the other idea is that a lot of the key people in various, hoax assassinations and so on are people from the Music Hall of Fame or from the Saturday Night Live crew or, essentially there's a whole bunch of people that... It's an acting school.
I find that plausible because actually Ted Bundy looked a lot like the guy who played Ramsay Bolton on Game of Thrones. Like, they looked like they could be brothers. I don't remember what the guy, it was Ewan, something that starts with an R. Did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
Did or didn't? I didn't hear you.
I did. Yes, I watched it. Yeah.
You saw Ramsay Bolton, right?
I don't know that particular.
Ramsay Bolton's the one who was in that bizarre quasi-pornographic scene in the show where the prince had a dungeon that he was keeping the other prince Theon in, and he had his two mistresses to go in the dungeon naked and seduce him, and then he went in there and castrated the man. Do you remember that scene?
Yep.
Okay, so Ramsay's like the prince who was doing that evil stuff. I don't remember. Oh, actually, I guess I can look. Okay, yeah. He was played by Ewan Rayan. And yeah, that he did look a lot like Ted Bundy, and that character was actually acting kind of like Ted Bundy. So, I mean, Ted Bundy didn't actually do the mutilations. I get that that's a hoax, but he was pretending to have done them. And that's what Ewan Rayan was pretending to do on the show. So, Ewan Rayan not only looks similar to Ted Bundy, but he's acting like him because he's playing this garbage role of pretending he's like this sex fiend who tortures and mutilates and rapes and murders people.
Yeah, and obviously you're familiar with all the Abraham Lincoln stuff and the booze of all related, everyone's related.
I'm pretty sure I remember reading all of our presidents are at least distant cousins. I'm familiar with that, if that's what you mean.
No, I'm talking about the people involved in the Abraham Lincoln assassination.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're all related, but I haven't really ever looked into assassinations that much. or at least not to the proper aspects. When I did look into them, I was kind of misled into focusing on the wrong things. Like, when I was in high school, I kind of looked into the Kennedy assassination, but I was kind of misled into focusing on Freemasonry, and family connections would be more relevant, but I didn't look into that as much back then. So I was kind of...
Anyway, the net effect of what you're saying essentially is that these are stage plays created for a reason, and I have the view that the acting families can be easily identified.
Well, I would agree in a sense, yes, but I think that there was something going on staging the assassination of Kennedy, but do you think his assassination was a hoax? Because that's not really what I thought. I think Ted Bundy's serial killer.
Yeah, I have the view that the Kennedy assassination was entirely a charade.
So you don't think he was killed?
Not at all.
Well, that's possible. Maybe that should be my default assumption, since all these serial killing cases appear to be hoaxes. So I can't really say for sure what I think. That leads me into an interesting question, because with the case I'm focusing on right now, I'm entirely convinced that Mary Fagan's murder is a hoax. But I'm undecided about Leo Frank's murder. Leo Frank was the defendant in the trial about her alleged murder, and he was sentenced to the death penalty, but the governor of Georgia, John Slayton, reduced the penalty to life in prison. And relatives of Mary Fagan's, her family organized a group called the Knights of Mary Fagan. And also, there was a relative of the prosecuting attorney in Frank's murder trial. The prosecuting attorney was Hugh Dorsey, and his relative John Dorsey, who was a member of the Georgia legislature, was also involved in this. They organized the Knights of Mary Fagan to abduct Frank from prison and murder him, to lynch him.
So I'm going to suggest that's the parallel to that story is the same as the one where Jack Ruby is supposed to have assassinated
Kennedy.
No, not Kennedy, the guy that was
you're right. So Lee Harvey Oswald, now I remember.
Yeah, so the Jack Ruby thing, there's a very good film demonstrating, put out by Dallas Goldberg, demonstrating that the Jack Ruby slaying of Lee Harvey Oswald was a stage act. You could even see them, you could even see the marks on the floor where they had to move to and the calls and the whole thing was staged.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So I now I know the answer. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if you thought that Frank's murder was also a hoax. So you do. But actually...
I see it as having the same parallel to the Jack Ruby murdering Lee Harvey Oswald. It has all the hallmarks of, okay, you get rid of inconvenient, you've got to tidy things up. And the way you do it is just have characters disappear, and no one looks at them anymore.
Okay.
And then they appear on the streets again. No one recognizes them because they're dead in their minds. That guy that looks like Lee Harvey Oswald who's just reappeared, he can't be real because he's Lee Harvey Oswald's dead.
But okay. So I am open to the possibility Frank's murder is a hoax. I'm just not entirely convinced. But these are photographs of his lynching. Would you be able to tell based on these photographs whether these photos are hoax photos or real, or would you, like, independently of what you would suspect otherwise? Like, could you judge?
So the typical modus operandi of those photos is that they're dummies.
Right, I understand, but I'm saying, like, the two photos I just showed in chat, do you see them?
Oh, this is in live stream notes.
Yeah, so I independently of what you generally think of such events, could you analyze the photos to say if they're obvious hoaxes or whether they could be real if this were not an event like this? I know your default is to say this is a hoax because of the circumstances, but, like, if this were a random case that didn't have this celebrity circumstance, would the photos themselves convince you it's a hoax? Or are they not enough to prove it? I can't really tell from the photo whether it's a hoax or not. Would you be able to?
No, I couldn't straight away. They look quite grim, don't they? Look quite real.
Well, do you think do those photos make you open to the possibility his murder was real, or do you still think it must be a hoax?
It makes me open to the possibility that's a dead, real dead person lynched there. Yeah.
Oh, are you implying, though, you don't think it could have been Frank himself?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. It's a body, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's another thing. Right after, I'm undecided as to whether this is evidence for or against the lynching being real, but right after Leo Frank's alleged lynching, his widow, Lucille Selig, contacted psychics to ask them to communicate with Frank's ghost, and one of the psychics told her that Frank's ghost said to him, something like, "I am sorry I had to leave you." I forget the other. It's not really relevant what he said. He had a message that Frank's ghost said to him to tell to Lucille. Now, I'm not saying psychics are real or anything like that. I mean, I personally kind of believe in psychics, but you don't have to believe psychics are real. And I don't think Frank's ghost was actually talking to the psychic, even though I think psychic ability is real. But the point is not about that, the merits of psychics. It's that Frank's widow deciding to contact psychics to communicate with Frank's ghost. There are two interpretations you could have of that. There are really only two possible things it could be. One would be that she sincerely believed that Frank had been murdered, and that's why she was contacting the psychics to communicate with his ghost, because she wanted to talk to him. But the other possibility is that she knew Frank's murder was a hoax, and she was doing it so she could tell people that she was talking to psychics to get in touch with his ghost, so that people would believe it was real. Do you think that her going to the psychics fits in more with her honestly believing he was murdered and wanting to talk to his ghost, or with her trying to deceive people into thinking his murder was real by that she had gone to psychics and asked to talk to his ghost?
Well, let me ask you a slightly different question. If the idea is that Mary Fagan's murder was a hoax, what is the gain from murdering the murderer?
Oh, well, it wouldn't be that they're actually angry at him for her murder, obviously. It would be to create social conflict, to make Jews angry at white Christians for having murdered Frank, who Jews would perceive as innocent, and it would be to make white Christians feel a sense of justice having been carried out in executing a Jewish child sexual abuser and murderer who had gotten away with his crime. They'd be doing it for the reason of that social conflict, I think. I think that would be the reason.
Yeah, so it's highly likely then that it's a hoax, isn't it? Just on the basis of what you're saying, it's more likely to have been just for that purpose, just to create the social conflict. So unlikely to have been a real event.
Well, yeah, I understand, but I wasn't actually asking
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Okay, I think the commercial's over, am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay, so what I was asking was not whether or not the murder is more likely to be a hoax or not. I was asking if we look at this specific reason in isolation, not connected with other reasons, his widow's behavior of seeking a psychic to contact his ghost, does that fit in more with her thinking his murder was real, so wanting to talk to his ghost, or with her wanting to fool people into thinking his murder was real by presenting?
Well, I'm going to have to rely on, you know, my view of television movies. I think at the time that people contacting seances like Houdini and so on, it was the zeitgeist of the time, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I think it fits in with that zeitgeist, rather than, you know, just saying, oh, and by the way, that was the way people were. That was a big thing of the day, was talking to mediums.
But yes, but I don't really think that could go in with either interpretation, it fitting in with the zeitgeist. Like, it could fit in both with her wanting to contact his ghost because she honestly believed he was murdered, but it could also fit in with her thinking everyone else goes to psychics when their relatives die, so I should do it or people won't believe he's dead. So that could really fit in with both interpretations, couldn't it?
I would have thought so.
I guess you're right. It probably, I guess based on the fact Mary Fagan's murder was a hoax, it's probably more likely that Frank's was also. And another thing, originally I thought that Frank was not related to Mary Fagan, but Mary Fagan was related to everyone else in the case. But then I looked into the genealogy of Twitter's chief executive officer, Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey's the great grandson of Catherine Quinn, who was the sister of Lemmy Quinn and the wife of Edward Dorsey. Edward Dorsey was a cousin of the prosecuting attorney in the murder trial of Frank Hugh Dorsey, and Catherine Quinn. She was the daughter of John Henry Quinn and sister of Lemmy Quinn. Lemmy Quinn was the son of John Henry Quinn. Lemmy Quinn was an official at the National Pencil Company where Frank and Mary Fagan worked. And he testified for Frank's defense during the trial, but his testimony made Frank look guilty to people. So he may have been trying to make Frank look guilty. But Jack Dorsey, in addition to this, he's also distantly related to Leo Frank because he's descended from Ava Frank, who was a German Jewess who lived in the same area that Leo Frank's ancestors lived in. So Leo Frank was probably like a fifth cousin, however many generations removed from Ava Frank. And so my point is Jack Dorsey's related to both Leo Frank and to his prosecuting attorney against him in his murder trial, Hugh Dorsey, and also to a defense witness in the trial. So having all those connections, it kind of makes it seem like probably Mary Fagan was related to Leo Frank. Also, Mary Fagan's eyes did look very similar. Well, I wouldn't say very, but Mary Fagan's eyes looked similar to Leo Frank, and I think some people might say, but they were both Jews, that's why their eyes looked similar, but they looked more similar to each other than you would expect people to look similar just because they had the same ethnic background. Like, it looked like it more like it was bordering on a family similarity, not just a racial similarity. So I think that's a reason to at least suspect that they were related, especially in combination with the other stuff. And they're being related with his murder being a hoax.
Yeah, but there are similar hoaxes. There are, you know, there's the Lindbergh kidnapping hoax. You know, it's all sorts of bonkers things that were going on.
I don't know anything about the Lindbergh kidnapping. Do you think Lindbergh was complicit in that hoax?
Yeah.
Do you read Miles Mathis?
Yeah, a little bit. Not a huge amount.
Yeah, I read him on the fake criminal trials. What do you think about what he thinks about politics? Like, I'll give an example. Like, he thinks that Hitler I don't think you were here when we were discussing.
Yeah, no, I was listening to it. But my problem is I'm much more radical than either of you. As far as I'm concerned, Adolf Hitler was an actor and maybe the actor, the same guy that plays Walt Disney.
I've heard of that theory before. I'd find that harder to believe than him being.
Well, the interesting thing about that is that the house that Walt Disney owned is the mirror image of the country house where Hitler was supposed to retreat. What's the country house where Hitler's retreat was?
I don't know, but I do know Hitler liked Disney films a lot, and he drew Disney cartoon characters.
Well, there you go.
I don't think that proves they're the same person, though. But
it's not about proving. It's about here's a possibility. Is it plausible? Does it provide some understanding of what was going on? Because
actually, though, I'll say one more thing about that, and then I'm going to get into an analogous case. But with regards, didn't Disney's face have a different shape than Hitler's, though? Like, I don't think it's possible to shapeshift. So, like, how would you account for differences in the shape of their face?
I guess I don't have the view that they have different... Well, there's prosthetics, of course.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't remember their faces looking similar in shape. I could be wrong.
Sure.
Okay. So
anyway, so in other words, you know, given that I have a much more radical view of what's going on than either you or Miles Mathis, I'm kind of disqualified from commenting other than the general thrust is that what we call history is entirely fabricated.
A lot of it is fabricated, but I'm pretty sure you don't think I'm not saying that I was correct about their faces looking different, but I'm pretty sure you don't think shapeshifting is realistically possible. Am I correct that you don't?
No, I just think it's ordinary prosthetics.
Right, okay, I'm just checking. Now, I think I'd have to examine their faces more to be able to say that, but... So I was going to say the Mary Fagan case is sort of similar to what you said about Hitler and Disney, even though I don't agree with what you said, because I came up with who I think Mary Fagan was after her alleged murder. I think that she was Carrie Bell Sutton. Carrie Bell Sutton married James Gant, 1928, and I already explained who James Gant was. I'm pretty sure you were listening when I talked about that, right? Okay, so there's one thing I don't think I mentioned. I might have mentioned it, but I don't think I did. Well, maybe I did. James Gant and Mary Fagan tried to rent a hotel room the night before her alleged murder, and the manager, John Phillips, refused to let them in because he found their behavior suspicious. He used as an excuse that they were not married. And they were seen in the red light district, like the area of the prostitutes, together with a woman. She later turned out to be the woman they were with was Mary Fagan's relative, Nancy Summerhill Caldwell. So that's all kind of suspicious. James Gant and Mary Fagan were known to be close to each other. Mary was named after his mom, Mary Louisa McCleskey. So I'm pretty sure that she's the woman who married him, Carrie Bell Sutton. And also, I think her real age was 21 years old, not 13, because she had a friend named Edgar Centel, who was 21 years old, who said that he had known her since they were both infants. And if she were 13 and he was 21, he could have known her when she was an infant, but he could not have known her when they were both infants. That would be a mathematical impossibility. So that sounds to me like they were fabricating her age and she was actually 21, or if she, at youngest she could have been was like 16. She couldn't possibly have been as young as 13, because that put too much of an age difference where they could not both be infants when they met, as he claimed. So wouldn't that be and Carrie Bell Sutton's age was 21. So isn't that a good reason to think her real age was 21? Were you saying yes?
I've got no problems with anything you're saying. I mean, a similar, similar story is the O.J. Simpson murder thing. You know, the woman he was supposed to have murdered is fairly obviously to me one of the newsreaders on NBC just took up a different role.
Yeah.
All of these things, these stories that you're talking about, they're simply plays.
Hey,
with a particular agenda, and that's.
I agree with you basically. Now, do you think? One thing I was wondering about, if we could actually prove in a court of law that cases that involve people who are living were hoaxes, and we removed the people from power who do the hoaxes, like under our current laws. Are there actually laws against, like, pretending you committed a murder and having a hoax case where you and the prosecutor and your defense attorney and everyone else in the case are complicit in deceiving the public into thinking you committed a murder? Like, is there actually a law that someone could be punished with for doing that? I wonder if
understanding is that those cases turn out to not be real. They don't actually go to a court. The way the... If you watch the things that are occurring in the court process, they're not normal. There are subtle changes which mark them out to be just plays. You know, how do you describe it? You know, the processes are, they look and appear genuine, but they are not.
Yeah.
So they're just plays. And I do know that the law changed not all that long ago, the US law changed where it became permitted for the government to lie to people. The USA. So that was it was made legal for the US government to tell lies.
Well, they've probably always been having hoax cases like this, because Elizabeth Bathory's case, which I discussed earlier, was an obvious hoax, and that was in the 17th century in Hungary. So it sounds like pretty much every country has been having these hoax cases always.
Well, we've had one where apparently some guy who was mentally unstable massacred people with a gun, and that led to Australia losing the right to bear arms. Everyone had to register their guns and hand in their guns. The stories within the gender, as you say, it's not an unusual. To me, everything you've said just sounds completely plausible. Is all I was really.
I understand, but But, yeah, well, most of what I said sounds plausible, but my view with Hitler, I don't think Hitler consciously served as controlled opposition, so you wouldn't...
I don't share your view at all. Single aspect of the character that we call Adolf Hitler was scripted.
Is my view implausible to you, or do you just disagree with it? Like, is it actually implausible?
Yeah, I think the idea that they would have someone who didn't, but the script being played out was too important to allow a random, an element of chance in it. I don't think there's any element of chance at all in these things.
Well, every single one is all planned, no element of chance, but there, I think there's one way you could have a sincere actor and still not have real chance. Like, if you thought there was a spiritual force involved, the spiritual force could telepathically possess influence the sincere actor and deceive him into doing the things that you want.
I very much think that there are spiritual forces involved. And the reason that I do not think that it could occur the way that you say is that, by my view, those negative spiritual thoughts are thwarted by prayer. And I don't think that would be too risky for Satan, for want of a better word, to try. So if during the operation of the Third Reich, Hitler had suddenly become started reciting the Lord's Prayer, then in my opinion, that would then result in the influence of Satan being broken completely. So that's the reason why I don't think it's done the way you suggest. I'm not saying you're wrong, it's just my view.
Okay, well, my view is that you could have a sincere actor who's, even if what you said were true, you could have a sincere actor who's deceived into following an evil spiritual system, which will put him in
bondage. That part I agree with. The part I disagree with is I don't think then that would be the mechanism used simply because it's not reliable. This script that's going on, they're taking note that they take no chances. There's no element no room for error at all. They just don't. There is no. The steps just proceed, for quite some time.
I actually don't agree with these people, and I think Miles Mathis, Miles Mathis doesn't either. I disagree with them for the most part. I'm just mentioning them
disagree with which people?
No, I'm going to say it. It's a different topic. The people who say that everyone in the elite is transgender, I don't agree with that. Do you?
Look, I tell you what, though. I think an enormous number of the actresses, the roles of the stars. So, for example, Audrey Hepburn. I've got no problem with the idea that she is transgender.
So does that mean you've concluded that she's transgender, or just that you're open to it?
I'm more than open to it. I've largely concluded she's transgender.
Okay, but I was going
when I say transgender, I think she's a man.
Well, that's what I mean. When I say by transgender, I mean the person's the opposite gender from what the person presents himself as.
Yes, yeah.
So, but what about... Some people said Larry King was transgender, and at first I was open to the idea because he looked a lot like my grandmom in ways that made him look feminine, but then I changed my mind because he had an abnormally sloped forehead, and a sloped forehead is a male trait, and it was abnormally sloped even for males. So that made me more inclined to think he really is male. What do you think?
I'm hopeless with the males. Side, the people that are presenting themselves as men, they're much more difficult for me.
What about Angelina Jolie? I think she's really female. What do you think?
No, I think she's a man.
But there was a modeling shoot she did when she was 16 years old where she was showing her cleavage, and like the size of her breasts, I don't remember how it is, but like females, usually one of the two breasts is larger, and I knew at the time which one it was, and the one that was larger is the one that's typically larger in females. Wouldn't that be evidence she really is a female?
Maybe. I don't necessary but not sufficient, I think, is how I'd describe that.
Yeah, I'd say it's evidence, it's not proof. I was just saying it's evidence she was a female. It's not proof, but it's evidence.
For me, the simplest check is, do they have children?
Well, I don't, but you can, I've never had children, but I'm not transgender, I'm male, and, I mean...
But if we think about the number of actresses that are childless, Audrey Hepburn, Nicole Kidman, Angelina Jolie...
I thought Angelina Jolie did have children.
Not of her own.
Oh, okay. But couldn't they be homosexual?
Oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
So that would be an alternative explanation to transgenderism.
Yeah, well, sure. But I'm completely okay with the gender inversion idea. Do you think that those women look like women? Do you know anyone that looks, average woman that looks like anything like Angelina Jolie in proportion?
Well,
I don't know any men who do either, but actually, I think I have known women who looked similar to Angelina Jolie, but are you saying she looks more like a man than a woman?
It's more a case of they look like neither fish nor fowl, do they?
Oh, so you're saying she doesn't look like a man or a woman?
Yeah, she doesn't present as a classical woman of her age.
This is Waterman Chris.
Madeira Lissette.
I'm Roland.
Uninstall Media.
Zach Hubbard.
Fantastic.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I think what happens is that women end up trying to achieve a figure which is impossible for them as a result of what these actresses, these alleged...
Yeah, I don't see how that would be... The figure they're trying to achieve that's impossible would be...
Well, their hips are wider at the shoulders than they are at the hips, for example. There isn't any woman I know at the age of 50 that is able to maintain a figure like Angelina Jolie. That's just not possible. I'm Awfully Fond of Jane.
No, but would a man be able to either?
Yeah, men's legs, a lot of those women have strong muscular legs like a man. They don't have the long calves or of a woman their age, in my opinion. Yeah. You asked me what I thought, this is what I think.
Well, yes, I see what you're saying, but I think there are some of them who are transgender, but I don't think all of them are. Like someone on Twitter was saying every single famous person is transgender. I disagree with that. Do you agree with him that all of them are, or would you agree with me that not all are?
It's hard to imagine how they would, every single one of them would be able to do it.
Oh, but yeah. I think,
you know, they obviously have some women appear in some roles, but at the same time, I think you'll have to acknowledge that men playing the roles of women has been part of stagecraft at least since Elizabethan times.
Well, yes, for actors, sure, but I mean, like, the idea Hillary Clinton is a man, I don't find plausible. What do you think, she's a man?
You're pushing me now.
Well, I mean, she has a masculine personality. You're saying you tend to think she is a man?
Hillary Clinton. But again, what do I know of her? Nothing. I see her image on the television. I'm not really... It's not really possible for me to comment on Hillary Clinton. At least Hillary Clinton isn't made to look ridiculously fit. I mean, Hillary Clinton does at least look a little bit like a frumpy old woman, doesn't she?
Yes.
Right. So it's not such a big deal to me whether she is or she isn't a woman, because she's not the sort of woman, not the sort of figure, not the sort of character that causes women to dysfunction and try and have a shape which is impossible for them and distort what people think of as beautiful as a result. I mean, have a look at Marilyn Monroe, for example. That woman was huge.
Do you think that person really was a woman or was transgender?
No, I do not. That woman, if you look at the clothing and the costumes, there's another example of what I'm talking about. You'll notice that in the movies that the wardrobe person, you know, like, who's the very famous one? I hate having mental blanks. But, you know, the wardrobe person in the Hollywood movies is always a very... Edith Head is who I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Edith Head was, one of the dressers, the costume stars of the golden years, if you like. And I went to see one of her displays of her costumes. The costumes have to have very particular attributes to accentuate the lack of feminine shape in some of the actresses. You know, it's a very specific thing to dress the starlets and stars of Hollywood.
Okay, but like if on news channels like CNN and Fox News, do you think most of the men on the news are men or most are women? Do you think most of the women on the news are women or most are men?
Hopeless on the men. A lot of the women are, in my opinion, look like men. Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said about the men, though.
I'm hopeless on the men. I can't pick it.
Okay. So when you say a lot, do you mean significant minority, half, or majority?
Of the top newsreaders, female newsreaders? Of the female newsreaders, of the, you know, the significant ones, I'd say the majority.
Okay, so like, so what about reporters, like lower level reporters? What would you say about them?
Well, so I don't watch news a lot anymore, but in Australia, there are some, they have all these panel shows and so on. The head ones, again, have all the elements of being transgendered. You know, they're very, very thin when they're young. Like very, very thin and kind of strange looking. And then as they've got older, they do look like blokes with makeup on.
Why would their being thin be evidence of being transgender? Aren't women usually
thin? Because that's the way that they really, you know, the newsreaders, even in the USA, the younger ones, they stay very, very thin for a long time and then they just get thick necks, really.
Right, but aren't women usually thinner than men, though?
How do you describe it?
Well, I mean, like...
They're unusually thin. Unusually thin.
Well, are you saying that they're intentionally keeping themselves very thin so people don't freak out that they're men?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So are you in live stream notes? I guess I could show this person as an example.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in live stream notes now.
Do you think this woman I just showed is a woman or a man?
Well, she's got a really long neck. I'd have to see what her physical size was. It's possible. She's got a very long neck, hasn't she? Possibly a man, yep.
Is there anything that indicates it's a woman? Is there anything in the picture?
Well, let's just have a look at her brow. So she's got, the brow ridge is quite heavy towards the outside of her outside brow ridge. Makeup disguises a bit of it.
Oh, so, and that would be more consistent with being a man.
She's got a big jaw. It's a big jaw.
Yeah, but she's Jewish. Don't Jews tend to have big jaws?
Maybe.
I think Jews, regardless of gender, generally have big jaws, so I wouldn't give that much weight.
Yeah, and then it's really going to be has she got an Adam's apple? She's doing the Masonic hand clasp, isn't she?
I don't think she's intending that as Masonic.
Heart shape.
Actually, they, but I saw a picture of her where she was holding her hands down and her arms down and her arms were bent. Isn't your arms being bent more of a sign of being female?
What's the digit ratio like of her hands? So there's another thing you can look at. If the ring finger is longer than the index finger of the hand, that's a very masculine trait. Now, a lot of the female newsreaders will have that trait. They've got big hands, and the ring finger is longer than the forefinger.
So if somebody has a big Adam's apple, you'd think the person's male, because Larry Keane had a big Adam's apple, but in a lot of other ways he looked like a woman. Does the Adam's apple have more weight than the other things?
The hands, Adam's apple, and the... Yeah, so again, I'm not really good with the math.
I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about someone else now. Let me get a picture.
Yeah, no, I'm not good on the men at all.
Oh, but he had a big Adam's apple, and you were saying that's a male character. So would that by itself tend to indicate he's a man?
I would have thought so, yeah.
Let me see if I can see a picture of his, where his Adam's apple shows. I thought I saw...
But Donald Trump, for example, has very short arms, doesn't he?
Are you saying Trump is transgender or isn't?
He looks a bit trans-sus to me.
I find it very difficult to believe all of these people or even most of them are transgender. Maybe a lot are, but I find it hard to believe like every single one is.
What about the Earth being flat? How are you going with that?
I don't know. It couldn't, I don't think the Earth could be flat because of like, when you're looking at an object in front of you, when it disappears in the horizon, the bottom of it...
I wasn't really trying to lead you onto that discussion. Keep going what you're doing. I will leave you with this thought. You and I have the same assumptions about the world, and you assume the Earth is flat.
No, I don't. I'm saying the Earth is...
Oh, yes, you do. You do. You are so non-limbic that you don't realize it. You assume the Earth is flat. Everybody does. But we can talk about that later.
I don't understand. I believe the Earth is a sphere. Are you saying I believe the Earth is flat?
No, I accept that you believe the Earth is a sphere, but you assume it's flat.
Oh, you're saying that until I see the fact that how the horizon visually works, that that's what causes me to conclude it's a sphere. Before that, I think it's flat. Is that what you meant?
No. I'm telling you that you assume the Earth is flat in every single practical thing you do.
All right, are you saying that... But what are you saying about what you think? Do you think the Earth is a sphere or do you think it's flat?
I assume it's flat. I assume it's flat. And for everything I do, I assume it's flat because I'm an engineer. And you assume it's flat because that's just a fact.
Well, so you think the Earth is flat?
I assume it's flat.
Well, I don't understand what you're saying by saying that
I know. It's so flat. Isn't that crazy? This is fascinating to me. And when you said you find it hard to believe that there are transgenders,
No.
It is hard to believe.
I didn't say that I find it hard to believe any of them are transgender. I said I find it hard to believe most are.
Okay.
But, here, I got the photo of Larry King. Here's his Adam's apple showing. He's the guy with the microphone here. Just superficially, do you think he's a man or a woman?
Well, I wouldn't have said that there's much of an Adam's apple there.
Well, there's more of one than you'd see in a woman, I think. Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So super...
If he's a woman, he's certainly not a good looking woman, is he?
So you're more inclined to think it's a man?
I'm more inclined to think it's a man, yeah.
Okay. But with Hadass Mold, you're more inclined.
But his hand is quite small. His wrist is quite thin. He's got lips that are a bit feminine, yeah?
Yeah, but I think pretty most Jews have feminine lips, so I don't think that means much. Most Jews have thick lips, which make them look feminine. So I don't think that by itself means much.
Yeah, the hands are fairly this small. Possible. Possibly a woman, yeah.
But you're more inclined to think man?
I'm more inclined to reserve judgment that there's just not enough data there for me to...
But with Hadass Gold, you're more inclined to think it's a man pretending to be a woman, right?
Say that last one?
The alleged woman above Larry King, you're more inclined to think that's a man?
Yeah.
Well, but she has children with her husband, like...
Oh, well, that's in that case, she is a woman then, isn't she?
Is that sarcasm, or do you mean that?
I think if she's got children, you know, that's a pretty much of a giveaway, isn't it? But I don't, for example, think that the Crown Princess of England had children.
Well, I guess they could hoax. Do you think it's possible Hadass Gold could hoax having children to cover up what she really is, being he...
Well, I certainly don't think that the Crown Princess of England looked like she had a child, when she came out of the hospital with that child. That didn't look as if, she didn't look like a woman who'd had a child to me.
Okay.
Does that help?
Sure, but actually it is possible for a woman to have a tall neck. I mean, a woman who's really a woman, isn't it? So just having a tall neck by itself wouldn't prove a person that she's trans.
Definitely not. You asked me what I thought.
Right, I asked you I know what you thought, but it is, do you agree it's possible there are exceptions where genuine biological women have tall necks?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I guess there's probably nothing that by itself could determine it for sure. You'd have to look at a combination of traits, right?
You'd have to do a lot more, yeah. If you're interested in this more, there's a woman called Phony Penelope that does some very good analyses of these famous people.
But does she always conclude that they're transgender, or does she ever debunk claims of transgenderism?
She quite often debunks them, yes.
In her, what she's called Famous Penelope?
Phony Penelope.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what was before Penelope again.
Phony?
Phony Penelope, okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
She's probably not on YouTube anymore. Is she on BitChute?
Oh, good question. You reckon she's not on YouTube anymore?
I don't think, they're not allowing far-right content on YouTube anymore. Well, I mean, they don't allow stuff like claiming people are transgender and stuff like that anymore, I don't think. You said she's called Phony Penelope, right?
Just let me check. It might be Persephone. I'm still linked to her as one of the things. So let me look.
Is there anyone in this forum who, are there any people like in a more centrist stance, like thinking some conspiracies are true, but they would not think Hitler was controlled opposition, for example?
I'm sure there are. I don't know who they are. There's a lot of people that just. Phony Persephone, her name is.
Okay, Phony Persephone.
I'll give you a link to.
Oh, I found it. I think. Oh, actually, she is still on YouTube. That's interesting.
Yeah. So she does Sean Bean and was the latest one. She's doing some really good ones there.
Does she more often conclude that they are transgender, more often not, or half and half?
No, it's often she concludes. Yeah. Just excuse me. I have to take a break.
Okay. See ya.
I'll be back shortly if you wish, but I've got to
okay,
take a break.
Okay. See ya.
That's all, folks.